and where three thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moths or rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
One of the words that sometimes interests people is the word inheritance. There are children who hope to inherit certain things from their parents. There are some who receive an inheritance from a friend or a family member. And we know of perhaps some cases where an inheritance was distributed and there were certain people who were excluded. They did not receive anything. The word inheritance has a great deal of meaning in the world, but we also find that Scripture has some things to say about the inheritance for God's people. One of the passages where this subject is implied, at least to some degree, is in Matthew 6. Jesus said that there are some things that we need to know about earthly treasures. And in commenting on these treasures, he says that the things that are based upon this earth are very limited. And Don made that clear with the scripture that he read. Garments, things that are in this category, can be attacked by moths. Someone may leave us a house and it's infested with termites. Insects or rodents may lessen the value of some of the earthly treasures that people inherit. Jesus said that some of the things that people have, they can rust. The word rust describes anything that can adversely affect an object. It was a broad term that was used to describe damage from all sorts of things. Damage from the age, damage from weather, or other items. In Matthew 6:19, Jesus pointed out another problem that can be related to earthly inheritances. Some of the things that people inherit, they are lost, they're stolen. A lot of things can happen to the inheritances that people have. This morning, though, we want to look at a different kind of inheritance, and this is the inheritance that God has for his people. As we begin, I want to take one more look at Matthew 6, verse 20. Here Jesus spoke of some of the problems associated with earthly wealth and treasure, and he added that the inheritance that God has for his people, it is in a completely different category. When Jesus spoke about the inheritance that God has for people, he affirmed that the inheritance cannot be defiled, it cannot be stolen, nor can it decline in value. This inheritance comes with a 100% guarantee. Look again at the 20th verse. Jesus said, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth consume, and where thieves do not break through and steal." Jesus affirmed that the inheritance that God has for his people is reserved. He said that the inheritance is in such a state that nothing can happen to it. And this is expressed in different ways in the New Testament. Another passage that has some bearing on this subject is found in Matthew 25, verse 34. And I'm turning there to read that verse as well. In Matthew 25, Jesus again spoke about the inheritance. He said that the inheritance for the people of God is a kingdom. Now, I find this to be instructive because I have known of some people who got excited when they were told that they were going to inherit a car. One young man received a car that was about 8 years old. It was his first car, and he was ecstatic. Some, if they were to inherit a house at the lake, they would be ecstatic about that. Stocks and cash gladdened the hearts of some. But notice from Matthew 25, verse 34, what Jesus had to say about the inheritance for the saved. "Then shall the king say to them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." The inheritance for Christians is called a kingdom. And Jesus further said that this kingdom is one that has not been thrown together. It has been prepared since the foundation of the world. Since the very creation, God has been watching over this kingdom. The inheritance is one that has been in existence for thousands of years, and God is looking forward to the time when he can say to his people, "Here, it's yours. This is the inheritance, and I want you to take it." The word kingdom suggests a vast inheritance. God could have used words like town, city, community, or state, but he didn't. He used the word kingdom. But sometimes people can receive a great inheritance, but they are incapable of using it and not able to appreciate it. For example, if a blind man were to receive as an inheritance a new car, that would be of little use to him. If the same man, a blind man, were to receive an airplane, then that would not be a very practical gift. Sometimes people receive an inheritance, but because of their age or because of their health, it's really not something that they can make full use of. And this situation causes us to ask about the inheritance for the Christian. When God transmits or when God gives this kingdom to his people, will it be a practical kind of inheritance? Will there be anything at all that interferes with it? Well, there are at least two passages, and I'm going to look at both of these with you, Philippians 3 and Revelation 21. There are at least two passages that have something to say about this. Philippians 3 will be used first, and at the end of this chapter, Philippians 3, verse 21, Paul affirmed at the present time that we have a body of humiliation, a body which has some limitations, a body which is wearing out, a body which is not completely suited for some of the things that we want to do. But he added that a time is coming when this will change. If you found the end of Philippians 3, let's look at the 21st verse. Who shall fashion anew the body of our humiliation, that it may be conformed to the body of his glory, according to the work whereby he is able even to subject all things unto himself. A time is coming when we enter into the place that God has prepared for the saved, that we will have a body that will be completely suitable, that will be in harmony with the inheritance. There will be no limitations in the body. Whatever is required for the body to make full use of the inheritance, Philippians 3:21 affirms that we will have that. And this is supported by other references, another of which is found in the book of Revelation, Revelation 21, verse 4. In this closing part of the book, John said, "And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore." The first things that certainly can interfere with an inheritance, he said, they are passed away. When people in this life receive an inheritance and they cannot fully enjoy it, they're sad. They're troubled. They think back to a time earlier in life and reason, if only the inheritance could have come to me 20 years ago, I could have really enjoyed it. But the Bible affirms that such is not going to be the case with the inheritance that God has for his people. God says that we will not have these kinds of problems in heaven. Nothing will be there. Nothing will exist to interfere with the kingdom and the inheritance. One of the reasons, perhaps, for this is that we will be out of Satan's reach. In life, people can try to take or steal or destroy what we inherit. And Satan likes to destroy and hurt people. The Bible shows that when the end of time comes, the saved will be separated from the lost and Satan will lose all access to heaven. There will be no chance for him to interfere with the inheritance that will be possessed by Christians. In addition to being freed from Satan, we will not be bothered by some other things. When you look at the book of Revelation, there are several passages which convey some great truths. I'm going to pull a little more information from this book, Revelation chapter 7, verses 16 and 17. These are the final two verses in this chapter, very beautiful verses. John said, "They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun strike upon them any more, nor any heat. For the Lamb that is in the midst of the throne shall be their shepherd, and shall guide them into fountains of the waters of life. And God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes." God's people have an inheritance. And God said it's going to be absolutely perfect. The inheritance that we have is portrayed in a way which suggests that it will occupy our full-time attention. And this, too, is an instructive point. Sometimes people receive an inheritance, but they cannot enjoy it because of other things. There are other problems, things that nag at them. But when you look at Revelation 7, verses 16 and 17, the Bible affirms that these things will not be true. The inheritance is one that people will always enjoy. There will not be a single thing that will distract God's people from enjoying it. Well, these two verses, as you look at them, have caused some to wonder about the inheritance that God has for his people. If this inheritance is to be something that is to be enjoyed for eternity, perhaps we'll lose interest in it. Perhaps we'll be bored by it. We know in life that if we have something that's enjoyable, the more that we use it, the more that we're exposed to it, the newness wears off. Sometimes, especially as you look at young people, children, they receive something, played with for a while, enjoyed for a period of time, and then they cast it aside. It's no longer of any real interest. What will this be true of heaven? Well, the Bible answers this question in different ways. Again, I want to provide an answer from the book of Revelation, going back now to Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. This information was written to one of the seven congregations that John penned some material to. This was the church at Ephesus. And in Revelation 2, 7, we find that the great writer John issued both a warning and a promise. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." Notice, if you will, the word paradise. This single term indicates both perfection and harmony. The word would seem to suggest an environment that is completely balanced. People who are in paradise are so satisfied that they do not want to leave. People who are in paradise do not want their routine to be changed because it cannot be any better than it possibly is. Paradise is absolute perfection. And here the Bible speaks of the paradise of God. And at least for me, that's beyond my ability to grasp. It is one more indication that the description of the inheritance is one that we certainly want to share, and it's something that's appealing. The perfection is so great that John says it's suitable for God. It's an ideal environment for him. God has an inheritance for his people that is beyond description. And when we look at the New Testament, we find that God says that he wants people to receive it. It's one thing for people to have an inheritance. It's one thing for people to be entitled or to be the recipient of that inheritance. But in some cases, people find that they're not in the will. They're not going to receive what they want or what they hope to receive. But when we look at the inheritance that's described in the Bible, God says that he wants people to share in his inheritance. God wants all people to share in his inheritance. But the Bible says that not all are going to be allowed to have a part. It's open to all, but all are not going to share in it. And this is made clear from my final three passages. These are drawn in the order I'm giving them in will be the order that they're read in. These come from Ephesians 1, Acts 26, and Acts 20. I'm going to start with the first chapter of Ephesians. The verse that we'll look at is verse 11. In this particular passage, there's a difference in the King James and the ASV, and we'll make a note about that. But here Paul had something to say about our inheritance. In whom also, he says, that is in Christ, we were made a heritage, having been foreordained according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. The King James, if you have that translation, uses the word inheritance. The ASV says heritage. And the difference in the translation reflects the different points that can be made. On the one hand, the ASV indicates that we are God's inheritance. It is as if God has kind of looked at everything that exists and says, I'm going to give a present to myself. At the final time, I'm going to give something that I like to me. And the Bible affirms that God is going to present the church to himself. The people who are in Christ, 11a, are going to be presented as a gift to God. And these same people are going to receive the inheritance, that is the King James translation. This passage shows that the inheritance is for the saved, and it's only for the saved. The second passage that I said I want to look at is found in the book of Acts, and that's true of the third one as well. The second passage comes from Acts chapter 20, verse 35. A little while ago, we read from Revelation chapter 2, a passage which had some things to say to the Christians who were at Ephesus. And the information in Acts 20, verse 35, is also related to the people at Ephesus. In the 35th verse of Acts 20, Paul talks about the Word of God. He says, the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all them that are sanctified. The Bible says that God's word gives us the inheritance. How does it do that? How does the Bible help us inherit the great things that God has for his people? Is God going to see on the day of judgment who had a Bible? Will the inheritance be based upon those who read the Bible? Well, the answer is found in Ephesians 1:11. It is found for those who are obedient. It's found for those who are in the Lord, in Christ. The people who have accessed the grace of God, faith through obedience, Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, are the people who are going to receive the inheritance. And because people have done what the New Testament says, at the end of time, they will be saved and be able to enjoy the inheritance that God has for his people. The people who are in Christ, the people who are saved by the word of grace, are also described by the third reference. This, again, is from the 26th chapter of Acts, the 18th verse. And here is what the Bible says. To open their eyes, that they may turn from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the remission of sins and an inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith in me. Before entering into Christ, the Bible says that people are in darkness. They're under Satan's power, and their only inheritance is the wages of sin, Romans 6:23. Someone says, well, the non-Christian doesn't have any inheritance. That's not true. The person who is unsaved does have an inheritance, but it is not a good inheritance. But as you look at Acts 26:18, the good news is the people can have their eyes open. They can be exposed to the truth, and they can obey the truth. People can take the wages of sin and say, I want to trade those in. I'm interested in the inheritance that God has for his people, and I want that. How's that done? Well, the Bible says in Acts chapter 20 that it is done through the word of his grace. It's done by entering into Christ, by being associated with the Lord, Ephesians 1:11. The Bible adds in Galatians 3:27 that we come into contact with Christ through baptism. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Baptism is that final act that opens the door to the inheritance. And faithful Christian living keeps us on the right road. Ladies and gentlemen, the time is coming when each one in this room is going to receive an inheritance from God. Each one of us will. The only question is, what will it be? Some will inherit the wages of death. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. There are some wages that we don't want. Sometimes people receive an inheritance where they say, I want no part of it. And yet when we look at the Bible, we find that those who receive the unfavorable inheritance will have no choice. That will be their lot, their destiny, and it will be endless suffering. Which do we want? The wages of sin, which leads to death, or the inheritance in Christ, which leads to eternal life? If we want the latter, there's only one way to achieve that, and that's to be in Christ and to continue faithful in his service. Have we become a Christian? Are we on the right road? And are we doing our best to follow that road each and every day? If the inheritance in heaven is the one that we want, and we've not taken the steps to put us on that road and to keep us on the right road, will you not this morning, as we sing the invitation song, determine in your heart to pick the right way and to seek that each day of your life? Can we help you become a child of God, or can we put you back on the right road? Those are the questions that we're asking as we now stand and sing.
If you